Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Josh Horowitz. I think I just said, what's up? That's weird. People don't say that anymore. What is up? Welcome to another edition of Happy, Sad, Confused. I am excited to bring you a great episode today with someone I adore, Catherine Hahn. You love her too, don't you? If you're listening to this podcast, you have good taste. So you, of course, love Catherine Hahn, best known perhaps for her roles in Step Brothers, Afternoon Delight last year. She's popped up in a ton of great comedies in recent years, including a new one that's about to come out. It's actually out right now in limited release and about to go into wide release, called Bad Words, directed by none other than Jason Bateman. She is a delight, and I so enjoyed catching up with her. I've spoken to her a lot over the years, but never for this kind of lengthy sit-down. She's super funny. Super interesting. We ran into each other at South by Southwest a week ago and talked about doing the podcast, and here we are. She came by the office in New York, and without any further ado, let's dive right in. Here is the new edition of Happy, Sad, Confused with Catherine Hahn. Hit me up on Twitter, Joshua Horowitz, tell me what you think, and enjoy the conversation. I'm hitting record, Catherine.
Record.
Hi.
How's it going?
I didn't see you there. You're sitting right
now.
No, I
literally have been sitting here for a long time.
That's kind of creepy.
I know. And you've not paid any. It's very strange. I've like been in your office.
Huh.
Yeah. It's like, Josh.
Thank you for being here.
Oh my gosh. I'm so happy to be here in your office.
In my office, in my homestead.
Mm-hmm.
You've been analyzing my weird psyche based on what's hanging in my office.
That's amazing. I'm really into everything that's happening.
Thank you.
Like Back to the Future.
You can take E.T. with you if you want. Whatever.
No, that E.T. is serious business.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take that E.T.
Sometimes we have the E.T. with the middle finger extended, which is hard to determine the middle finger on E.T. because he only has four.
Right.
So
what would that be?
Middle two fingers, I guess.
Press me.
Don't press him. Please don't press him.
Why? Does he not? Okay, I won't.
The battery's probably dead.
We gotta look at what's her name's,
Which one?
Leopard ears. From that hot Halloween costume. She's the hottest mother ever in,
Who is that? I don't even know
You know what I mean?
Stuff.
In E.T. when there's the Halloween scene and the mom,
Dee Wallace. Dee Wallace. Amazing.
How hot was Dee Wallace?
She was, well, hit me in the right age.
Oh, forget it. I was like, in that cat suit.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, that's a mom role for the ages.
So we were saying that we're fulfilling a promise. I saw you at South By.
Yeah.
And I said I wanted to chat with you for a while longer because we didn't have a chance to sit down there. And you're always so much fun. You're delightful.
I'm a man of my word.
Oh, well.
Here we are. We show
in this case, at least.
We said we were gonna get together. I was very excited that it actually happened.
For once, we're following through. So how was South By, first of all?
I mean, it was an awesome blur. We were there for like, I was there for like 30 hours, and it was, I wanted to see so many documentaries and films that were on the
yeah, it's not going to happen, doesn't it? No, I didn't. I was shaking my head like,
yes.
As she interpreted it as, no, they're
You're
all
like,
crap, don't
not,
see
not
it.
Not worth it.
No,
if they all, but there's no time. They all looked so good.
Yeah.
So much good stuff. We were there for a hot minute, but it was a ball. Really fun audience. And it was like a 10 p.m. show, and which was late for mommy, but it was a ball.
So is when you get to do press and this stuff, like now that you are a mom twice over, I believe, yes. Is
19 kids and counting. What if I was like that?
You're the octomom.
My uterus is hanging out.
No.
yes!
But is it more like, so is it kind of a weird vacation in a way when you're doing press, or does it feel like...
Yeah, I mean, it is. I'm still pretty new to like this, this part of it, like the press part of it, so it is like, it is a intense schedule, like but it is fun. I mean, you're kind of like, you all of a sudden, you're kind of like shuttled around. Like, you don't have to really think.
Right.
You kind of feel like there's something to wear that's sitting there. There's like someone to do your hair and makeup. Like, you just order food. Like,
right.
It's really, it is a total vacation. Yeah, it is. And then you go home and the kids are like, it's pretty amazing. You kind of turn into a pumpkin at midnight. That's what I feel like. But it's a ball. South by Austin was awesome. Salt Lake City. That's what we were joking about. Because I just had so much barbecue in the shortest amount of time. So much meat.
We passed by after having a big meal.
Yeah.
Every meal in Southwest big.
Yeah.
We passed by a donut truck. And how do you say no to a donut truck?
You cannot.
A truck that is based around the formation of to order donuts. They deep fry the individual donut for you and then put the toppings on.
Are you kidding me? Voodoo Donuts? Have you been there in
Portland? Yes, in Portland. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing, too.
So good. I was like, well, you put a Snickers bar on a glazed donut. Like, what are you going to do at 10 in the morning? And then I feel like a five-year-old. I have, a sugar crash. Yeah, the food in Austin was amazing. We actually got a lot of... It's the really good airport there, too, food-wise.
Yeah, because they have, a Salt Lake in the airport, too.
We had Salt Lake, and then we had Amy's ice cream. That was so stupid. And then just got on a plane and sat there.
just bonded with the seat.
A dietary disaster. But it was worth it. Yeah, it was. I was so fun. And then I also was in New Orleans. Went from there to New Orleans to work on something. So like that, I left Austin on Saturday night and got to, spent the week
in
New Orleans.
Lands of decadence.
Oh my
basically
god!
Everywhere.
Yeah, just pickle, just like nothing but salt for the last 2 weeks.
So
such good food.
What's been in your top tier list of places to shoot is New Orleans? Have you shot New Orleans?
No, I'd never even been there before, and I was like, this is
what?
The. I want to go back. We were there for Mardi Gras, too. But we were doing night shoots, so our schedule kind of, aligned with everybody's, which was great, because we could sleep in.
Right.
Which was awesome. But, it's the best. Haunted.
Yeah.
Like, they literally, in the French Quarter, have signs, pre-made signs that say, for rent, haunted. Like, it's a selling point.
Right. In other cities, that would not
Yeah,
be.
You would not. And, and it's just, a delightful addition to whatever. It's the best. The best.
So... Okay, so let's talk a little bad words for a second.
Yeah, fine.
You've got your talking points. You know what to say. No, Jason Bateman's a delight. How did he do it his first time out? Oh my god, he was born. He's been acting his whole life, so he knows what he's doing.
Oh my gosh, yeah. These are all my talking points. But they're all true.
They are true. He's delightful.
I love him.
He's the best.
I know.
The driest man ever.
The
but so
driest.
Funny. So you, I know you knew each other casually before this.
Yeah, casually socially.
Casually socially.
Casually. We would bump into each other at various showbiz events.
In a casual way.
And we'd be like, oops, sorry,
you
and then
brush
move
an
on.
Arm by him.
Yes. Just a casual spill of a beverage.
So does he come to you directly with this, or is it...
I was working on We're the Millers, actually. I was in North Carolina, and I got one of my peeps was like, Jason Bateman's directing a feature. And I was like, yes. Like, not even having read it, I was like, I want in, because I knew that whatever it was going to be, I just trust his taste.
Right.
I just think he's such an incredible taste. And I love his comedy. Love his comedy. And I tend to get, a little sweaty in my comedy.
What does that mean?
Big.
Okay, got
like,
it.
Like, a little
it,
bit like, oh, like, that, that, that. Like, work, like sometimes, like, that's the thing I'm working on. It's just, how do you, work less?
Well, it's funny you say that, because when I was writing some notes, one thing that came up on IMDb, I don't know if you know this. What does it say?
Oh, known for her.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
My friend sent me that, which was hilarious. I was like, I'm so excited I get to be known. That's what I think the name of my autobiography should be, Making Faces with Catherine.
I can't find it now, of course. Basically, yeah, your one trademark on IMDb is known for her expressive faces,
which you hope
nice.
As an actor.
yeah
that
you don't want the actor known for his blank stare,
for stone, for shark eyes and just dead vacant face,
right?
Dead
eyes. Dead
shark eyes. So I thought it was gonna just, I knew it was gonna be a learning experience. I knew whatever getting and playing with him was going to... I was going to learn a ton from watching him. And then I read it, and I was like, oh, if anybody can pull this off, it's Jason Bateman in the role of Guy Trilby, because it's such a... It is a difficult, difficult role. And he just can't help but want to be, as an audience member, in his lens. Like,
right.
His POV is, what you trust. So I feel like whenever he's in a movie, I'm always kind of, shifting to... I want to see the world through that, through his eyes, through that human's eyes. And so I knew that kind of empathy that he just elicits. I think that's the verb.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I was an English major.
Oh my god, you were an English major?
I was.
That's fantastic.
I wasn't a good student. I mean, I barely graduated.
Like,
let's be honest.
Creative writing, or just
I had it. Well, I was. I went to a small liberal arts school.
Yes.
Called Hobart, and there was no like.
Which
I was,
school?
Hobart in upstate New York.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. Yes.
And I wanted to do film and journalism, and so there was no actual concentration, so I'd have like English with a concentration in film, and it was just like film studies, but it was English.
Yes.
But enough about me.
I want to hear so much about you.
No,
I feel like
no.
This is the first time we've gotten to really talk. It's not over like loud music.
It's true. Wait. It's okay. We were talking like Bateman.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Is a director. Yeah. He was amazing. It was ridiculous that this was his first feature. It's really crazy. Really, really remarkable. He was so calm. You never saw doubt on his face. He was so prepared walking in. I think he knew that he wanted to arm himself with as much walking into that first day. It was a really tight shoot.
Right.
He wanted to make sure that walking into that first day, he was armed with as much.
Yeah, this wasn't like a flight of fancy. Like, he'd clearly been thinking about doing this for a while.
And he wasn't going to put his name. He's smart. He's a smart man, and he's not going to put his name on anything that he's like that's half baked, especially for his first trip out. Especially because he really, really wants to do this. And I think he should. I mean, he's amazing. I'm so excited for his next one.
He's about to jump into another one.
With Nicole Kidman.
Right.
It's like, and it's an incredible script. It's called The Family Fang. Like, yeah, he's amazing. Like, I'm telling you, I wanted to like yell to. I wanted to like just do mass emails and be like, everybody has to work with Jason. It was so fun. I learned a ton, and it's a really tricky tone to pull off. And then children, like, I don't, you know, he just added so much to the equation that could have been really difficult, but he was amazing.
So I'm kind of, are you surprised that, because like in reading up on you, I feel like it wasn't like comedy was like necessarily when you were growing up, like the thing you wanted to do, but that for whatever reason, you've ended up in some awesome comedies and always excel in them, and that's kind of like, if there's a niche that you've filled while balancing other stuff, it's comedy is the main thing, at least at this moment right now.
Yeah,
it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. I mean, I was always, you know, I have two younger brothers. My parents are wicked funny. I grew up in Ohio. Like, so it was always like I really had to, you had to keep up to survive in my family. Like, it was not easy. Like, there was a, you know, it was tough comedy. Like, tough room. Like, so I feel like that built it up, certainly. I never went into school, like, I never went to improv classes. I never thought about a sketch career, but I was certainly always. I don't know if I was more so than anyone else. Like, you know, when you're in theater, there's a lot. I mean, so much that happens off stage is as important. It's so important, and just keeping that vibe loose and uninhibited and free, no matter what the genre is. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that. I'd be hard pressed to find like a real, real, real serious theater actor. Like, I just don't think you can. Like, because you need everybody on that stage. If you, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess you can.
Well, did you ever go through a stage like when you were in as a kid? I know you were acting and in college. Like, where you kind of took it like so seriously to the detriment of like, I don't want to do comedy or I don't want to like have fun. I'm here to like.
No.
No.
I just was never that precious about it, I guess.
And I would think also once you start to do a few and you realize you're good at it. Like,
yeah.
I'm
not
gonna...
Adam McKay certainly was the one that that I just put myself on tape for this little tiny part in Anchorman, and that cracked it open for me. Just like watching those guys, I was like, what? It was the best. The best. I'd never seen anything like that. Like, it was like the rules were thrown out the window. I couldn't believe, because he had written such a brilliant, like the script itself was so brilliant, so funny, so anarchic, so like... story was like least important, like it was just like packed jokes so tight, and then to have the freedom to, I guess, and the finances behind it, let's be fair, to throw it completely away and just go from nothing was like so liberating, and that was an amazing school to be a part of.
And then obviously going to Step Brothers, which was a much more significant part, and I talked to Adam about this, Adam Scott, and I remember he told me,
cutie.
I mean, annoying.
Forget it. I know I could punch him right in the gut.
He said before to me and others that like he was petrified at the beginning of that. Did you know he was kind of like thought he was in over his head those first few days?
I mean, it took a second for him to get like, you know, I think because everyone kind of had to be like, yeah, we're here because we're here. Like it was a couple days in that he was like, oh my God. I mean, it's terrifying. That was a huge part, and especially if you don't like the two of us. Like we'd never. I think we both would go home and just, like, write alts. for ourselves, because like as soon as we knew the rules, we were like, oh shit. I'm not an improviser.
That may pop into Will Ferrell's brain, but mine doesn't work that way.
It does not work that way. So, like, I think we would, like, run, and then, of course, like, nothing, you know, because Adam would sniff it out and then push it into places that would, you know, he wouldn't let that happen.
Right.
But, yeah, I think we would, like, literally go home and just, like, write alts for ourselves. But then, I mean, how brilliant is Adam Scott in that movie? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
What do you remember about your scenes with Riley and that, John C. Riley and those?
I remember the scene in the bathroom where we, our very tender lovemaking scene in the men's room, was the sum of the takes were like 20 minutes long, and it went to some dark, dark places, like really dark, like me trying, basically like Lady Emmingham, like trying to get him to murder Adam, my husband, just like detailed of how to go about the murder while we were doing it. Like, while I had him, like, basically, I was like, whole, like, it was really graphic and very, very, very dark.
McKay seems playing. Like he's the smartest man. He's legendary at SNL as, like, he was a genius there and is a genius on set and throws out lines. And that takes getting used to because there aren't many directors that do that.
Or that certainly do it as well. Inspired. Yeah. I mean, he's, like, he is touched. I mean, I don't know what is going on in there. He has a podcast with Owen Burke that I we never got a chance to do it in Comedy Fest, but he performs in it.
Yeah.
And he's an incredible performer.
Yeah. Another film that I think one of the first times I actually interviewed you was for the James L. Brooks movie, How Do You Know? And I'm most fascinated by that. I'm fascinated by James L. Brooks
because
he's just a genius. One of your many collaborations with Paul. And most importantly, I want to talk about Nicholson because he is just, he's an icon. And, you know, you throw that word around, but he is.
No, I know.
And I don't know, give me a sense of what it was like.
He's still pushing himself. Like, he's like, I feel like he, it was amazing to, that was, I was really pregnant during that movie. That was in Philadelphia. And my Jack Nicholson literally on his day off. I came to the set one morning and there was a bag from like Pee in the Pod or some maternity store with like a couple of camisoles and like a skirt and like a blouse. Real, real cute, real random. Could not read the handwriting on the card. Jack Nicholson on his day off went because apparently there was like a maternity store and like got me. This is amazing. I wish I had been a fly on the wall when you walked into like Destination Maternity. And he was like, I think he said something to the effect, like, it wasn't the first time. But it was, and then he totally got my daughter like an awesome engraved bracelet when she was born, because she was born early while we were doing that movie, which was very, very exciting.
Is that the word?
And very relaxing. Yeah, sure. I was supposed to leave on a Saturday, and my water broke on a Friday night. Or I was supposed to. My last day was a Saturday. I had one day left of shooting. Oh my god!
It was James L. Brooks just like hold it in. You're ruining this film, basically.
Then the best was I had to like, finish that day, and so I had to like wait around in Philly for 2 months basically because I didn't want to travel with my sweet girl, and you know, they wanted to do a camera test before I came back because they were very afraid that I'd lost all the maternity weight and that I wouldn't be the same because they were going to have like fake cheeks or whatever, you know, they were going to do. And I show up and they're like, oh, no, you look exactly the same. I was like, oh, good, I'm going to kill myself. Like, nothing had shifted. Frickin' Philly cuisine. Paul Rudd called me while I was in labor, though. Like, I would get these texts while I was in labor being like, who wants a cheesesteak? So, my husband and I were like doing the Rocky steps. It was an adventure. That was a real, real adventure, that movie. And James L. Brooks, forget it. Just to cross that off the list was like a bucket list experience.
I personally really enjoyed that movie, and obviously it didn't click in for whatever reason.
It's a real vague title.
It was a
let's be frank.
Title. He's always had trouble with titles.
Trouble with titles. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
You think that was the thing that?
Well, really not always trouble with titles.
Well, Broadcast News is great. What
Terms
else?
Terms of Endearment.
That's true. Spanglish.
Spanglish, tricky. But I mean. Says it.
Yes.
That's kind of clearer to me.
Yeah.
But I mean, forget it. That material. There's some lines in even How Do You Know when Paul Rudd makes the toast and he goes to people who make toasts. They're like, oh, what kind of brain thinks of that?
Yeah.
I still think of the amazing, like my girlfriends and I still talk about like the Holly Hunter when she has that awesome cry.
Oh my god.
At the beginning of the movie and she's like fine. Like she clears her emotional throat. Like I feel like we do that on like regular basis. We'll be like, I just had a Holly Hunter cry, like when you're like, ah, and then you're like fine. But you just need to like get it out and then you're okay.
So I'm curious, like, okay, so where you're at right now, it feels like you're at a really good spot. You're in all these awesome movies. You had Afternoon Delight last
year. I'm in your damn office.
You're in my office. You made
doing
it
doing your
MTV.
Hot podcast. So, yo, MTV.
I need to get a fan.
It is hot in here, honey. I'm not going to lie to you. My Toms of Maine is not working, and I apologize. It's going to be rough at HuffPost Live next, because I'm going to be stinks.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, you know what? It's good, though. I feel like I'm in a Bikram class. I feel like it's good. I'm sweating it all out. All of my, like, awesome salty toxins.
This is my first yoga session. I didn't even know it. But
well, for you, I'm glad you have a sweater on.
This proves to you that it's not normally this hot.
Oh, yes, exactly. It's good, but no, it's good. And we're making it hot.
What were we talking about? Okay. Oh, so the wonderful spot you're in your career, Catherine. Mm, this is a good thing. So, I mean, yeah, coming off of Afternoon Delight, which I know you were very proud of, and it was a nice, like, departure and more dramatic material.
Yes, yeah.
Right? But I'm curious, like, at the same time, you're busier than ever. I mean, you have two kids, and, like, do you feel like, it's happening now at the right time, or it's kind of like, ugh, why weren't these opportunities happening when I was 22?
Yeah.
I mean, you had opportunities then, but these are, I feel like, better and more exciting, probably more rewarding for you than ever.
I mean, I don't know. You know, it's interesting. I don't think I was ready. I mean, I really don't, in a weird way. I think you have, at least for me, like, I always felt like I was a guest at the party, like someone else's like party. Like I never saw myself out doing film or television. I just never like I wanted to do theater, like a theater.
Right.
And so I never felt quite prepared in that world or like owned it. And I think like you have kids, and I just got a big case of the fuck it's. Pardon my French, but I really like. I don't know if I can say that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Okay. I just it as a part of it is like oh. I don't know. It's such a short, you know, ride. And
yeah.
I think it's accumulative. Like, it's such a small community, actually. And the good ones are, like, there's some, I've been, the comedy community in particular is such a good group of eggs. Like,
yeah.
Really good peeps. The ones that I've had the pleasure of working with, at least. And so, yeah, I don't know. I think I certainly wasn't... Maybe I wasn't ready. Like, maybe this is, like, a perfect... I certainly didn't see this unfolding the way it did.
Right.
But it's kind of awesome. Like, it's kind of really exciting. I just can't believe I'm able to still work. I mean, that I'm working. It's really nice.
Well, it's funny because, like, also, I guess one of your early jobs out of school, right, was, like, what a lot of actors would kill for, which was a nice part on a long-running television series.
Yes, a procedural drama.
Right?
That was hard. It was an awesome experience.
Crossing Jordan.
Crossing Jordan, yes. Mm-hmm. Crossing Jordash. Crojo.
Crojo's what, yeah.
It was awesome because I've never been on a television set like that was, except for I did a little show when I was a kid.
Yeah, well, we have to mention that because mm-hmm. you know that it's obligated to come up. What was it called again?
Hickory Hideout.
Hickory Hideout. Mm-hmm. Is that how you have to say it? Is that how they
Hickory
say it?
Hickory Hideout. But
I looked for video. I can't find video of you on Hickory Hideout.
I mean, it's pretty awesome. I have like, it's not, it's like, it's kind of amazing. Who is that skater who had the like bob? Cut in the 80s. It was looked like that. It's not great.
So,
Dorothy Hamill.
Okay. And what was that exactly? It was a children's show with squirrels that
yes,
talked to you?
Yes. Not So and Shirley Squirrely.
Sure.
And
this was
treehouse.
Local in Cleveland?
Yeah, we shared the set with the local news station.
Of course.
So there was like a dark news station mm-hmm. stage, and then they had to then do the news with a treehouse set right next to it. It's very surreal. Yeah, Crojo. That was, I learned a ton, but it was certainly on, it was an awesome lesson of like, okay, this is a huge investment. And it kept going and going. And it was hard. That was like, there's certain parameters that you have
right.
that was difficult to, but I love everyone in it.
So wait, is there a connection there between, wasn't Damon Lindelof one of the
guys?
Damon obviously wrote
yes,
Tomorrowland.
Yes, and Tomorrowland, right, exactly.
Was there some kind of connection there?
He was the best. I mean, it was so clear. That was like season, I think he was only on Crossing Jordan like a couple seasons, but it was very clear that he was extraordinarily gifted. Like,
yeah.
That any episode that had his name on was like, what? Like, it really was like shot out of the,
yeah.
That mind is, it's crazy gifted. And then he went on to do Lost.
Of course.
And then, maybe you've heard of it. I'm saying like that. And then, Tomorrowland. Yeah, he is, yeah, so I'm sure it happened. We've stayed in contact, like, since then. Yeah. I adore him. He's one of the, I don't know if you've met him, but he's a great, honest, humble, beautiful brain.
No, he's the best. My brother actually was an executive producer and writer on Lost, so I've gotten to know him a lot over the years.
Isn't he awesome? And Heidi's awesome. Yeah, yeah, he's the good. He's the good stuff. And he's the real deal.
And a good for a nerd like myself, like the nerd that made it and like still like wears it proudly on his sleeve.
I know. He's so delighted by it. Like yeah. He's so still like in the happy candy store. Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay, so would, and I don't want to bring it, I mean, this will bring us down a little bit, and if you don't want to talk about it, please let me know and I'll cut it out, but you worked on this pilot with Philip Seymour Hoffman, which I know you had high hopes for, and everybody did, and just give me a sense of, I mean, everybody has nothing but amazing stuff to say about him. I'm just curious of, like, what it was like to see him work in that capacity up close, and just, because he, it's, I know we're all kind of, like, still in shock about it.
Yeah, it was.
This is pretty. You shot this like a year ago or something, I assume, or something.
It was last, fall. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, it was picked up in January, and, it's just awful.
Yeah.
He was. I think we all walked out of that experience changed. Performers, I certainly did. I mean. I think I had said this somewhere else too, but it was like, so I apologize.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, this, it's so important. You really want to like articulate and take your time because, he loved actors so much and he really did not care where you were in your career or at all. Like he met you as an equal, which I will, because he knew that the most important thing was that connection and having that truth between. So, it was, it's devastating.
No, I got you. It's hard to process.
But it was obviously like hopefully we all, he was an inspiring performer, and just in terms of like the just like raising the bar, like I just feel like
so going out of this hot sauna office and finishing your press tour on Bad Words, what are you doing next? You finished Tomorrowland, that came
based
on that for 6 years, so
we won't see it for another 12. I'm so excited to see that.
Did they ever let you read the entire script? Do you even know what you're in?
I know a little bit of context, barely. Yeah. Like, I really don't know. Yeah, I have no idea. It's so awesome and surreal and amazing. It's going to be. I'm very, very excited to see that film. And Brad Bird is like Willy Wonka. He's incredible. And then I'm just going. I just did this this movie called D-Train, and that was what I was doing in New Orleans, which is like with Jack Black, which was awesome. And I'd never worked with him before, Mike White. And then an M. Night Shyamalan movie I'm going off to do right in Philly on Wednesday. Yeah, yeah. Which is a completely different genre, and he's also like a Willy Wonka, though. Like he has his own amazing world.
He's another
set
one
up
that
in Philly.
I don't know how much you've talked to him yet, but like he actually did a comedic bit with me a few years ago.
Oh,
like,
really?
Playing off of his image, like he has a sense of humor.
He
and knows,
totally
and
does.
Knows, like what good or bad people have said about him. He's very aware and is just a smart guy, and I'm rooting for him.
He's an incredible writer.
Yeah.
An incredible mind and writer.
Yeah.
And like just the art of storytelling. Like I'm very, very excited to work with him in this capacity.
So is this back, because I know he has a couple things going, is this back in like the suspense thriller genre, or is there's another one that's an older script that he's I know working on too, that's more like a romantic kind of story?
Oh gosh, no, this is not that romantic.
Okay.
No, yeah, this is like a little bit of a thriller.
This is his micro-budget one.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah,
very cool.
I think it's like 7 people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, really fun.
Very cool.
Yeah.
You saw my weird creepy hat over here.
I did.
Do you want to put your hand in the creepy hat? That
yeah.
sounds really
weird. I feel like maybe we should. I feel like I've been asked this before.
Kevin,
I'm having a weird post-traumatic.
It's when you were in that sorority party.
And so, right.
I apologize. I've been
now, what is in
this.
Here?
Okay, so I've been traveling with this back and forth, and I
yeah?
don't know why.
What do you mean back and forth?
Back and forth to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
When I did a couple podcasts out there, just because I figured it should stay the same hat. But of course,
that's good. That's a good luck.
Crushed in my suitcase. So
what are these questions from just peeps?
They're random questions. They're kind of like, you know.
I love this.
Chocolate cake.
Stick my hand in your creepy hat.
We're both married.
It's a literal hat. Okay, here we go.
Random questions.
Do you have kids by then?
Not yet.
Oh, it's real fun.
I hear.
Okay. Scary. There was an earthquake yesterday. What do you like on your hot dog?
Oh.
Speaking of euphemisms, you know what? I like a spicy mustard.
Good. Okay, that's good.
That's
we can get along because I don't like.
That's all.
I don't like people that put
no.
ketchup and mustard.
I don't either, and I don't like all the other stuff on it.
Relish.
Although there's a place in New Orleans called Butcher, that is the same people that own Cochon. Cousin. My God.
Cockin'.
That makes our own hot dogs in that place is real good.
Oh, for someone that was only there a few days, you really made
it. Oh, I ate my way through it. I'm telling you, there is not a restaurant stone unturned.
Did you have any beignets?
No, because you know what? I went by that place, and I was like, the line's too long.
They move quick, though.
They do? But is it really worth it?
It's pretty good.
Shoot.
Though to bring it down again, I always think a couple years ago, one of the guys that created The Wire literally like had a beignet and just like dropped out of a heart attack there.
Oh God, are you serious?
Yeah,
that's an awful story.
I know.
At Cafe Dumont?
Yeah.
That's a horrible story.
I know, I'm sorry. I don't know why. I'm really in a weird mood today.
It's the heat. So yeah, we had a little earthquake yesterday, which is,
yes.
I know, that was like right as
Wait,
I was
were
getting
you
ready
there?
To go. Yeah, I was literally, I was going to be picked up in like 20 minutes. So weird, it's hard to leave my little peanuts.
Do you have a fear of the big one coming? Earthquake, I mean.
I mean.
this is the part of this podcast
I guess. I do, I think it's real. Yeah, I do, of course, why not? Yes, I mean, yes. It was scary to leave them.
Yeah.
And my daughter was like, can you please tell me when that's going to happen again? I was like, I know. I wish I could.
Are you surprised? You're obviously happy in L.A. Have you ever lived here in New York?
I did. I lived here for a long time. I miss it. I lived here, and then I would go back and forth when I was at Yale on the weekends. My then boyfriend, now husband, lived here, and so I'd go back and forth. I miss it desperately. I really do. I love the city so much. And I love
it. I can't believe it. If you don't believe it, it's okay.
Thanks.
Just because I'm a
Thank
New Yorker.
You. That really
you can
takes
say.
A whoof. No, I do. I really freaking love the city.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're now fully ensconced in LA, and I love we live in Silver Lake. I love our pals and that's awesome. I mean, this is kind of great to go back and forth. Should I do one more question?
Let's do a couple more. Yeah, finish strong.
Okay, let's finish. Yeah, finish strong. This is the worst injury I've ever had. I was in a Toys R Us parking lot on a Sunday morning. I was had nothing but work lined up the next week. It was like every scene every day for the show I was doing called Free Agents. It was on for like a
minute. Four episodes.
And I was buying my kids. I got them each like a little something because I knew it's going to be a hard week and wouldn't be a lot of seeing mommy. And my daughter wanted a plastic toilet like for her doll. That sang. It was called like the Royal whatever. Like there was like a song that came out. I was like to teach a kid. And as she wanted me to open it up in the parking lot. It was like the hottest day. And as I was going to open it up, I stabbed myself in the eye with like a piece of the packaging. Like I literally was like momentarily blinded in the parking lot, screaming, "I can't see my children!"
From a talking toilet that you had purchased.
And my daughter was like, "Can I have it?" I was like, "May I can't even." Like I couldn't even. It was awful. It was like a paper cut in my cornea. They had to put like a plastic. Like pretend contact lens over it so that when I blinked,
right.
I didn't keep opening it. It was worse than childbirth.
And yet, I can't even tell that it's a glass eye right now.
It's a glass eye. Every so often, it just starts to wander, and then you just see the whites of it.
I was going to say, it's turned around completely.
Yeah,
I was going to tell your publicist
heat.
Afterwards.
Oh, that it's just a totally white...
chilling.
It is chilling.
Give that to M. Night Shyamalan.
I mean, seriously, and just all of a sudden, should I keep reading them?
Sure.
If I were a president,
Ooh.
My first act would be...
That's an easy one.
I know, exactly.
Yeah. What's on your platform? What's your thoughts on healthcare and crisis in Crimea?
I know. Yeah, healthcare.
Healthcare, okay.
Or, you know, also just, I don't know, keeping the garden going.
Sure.
Do you have a nickname? Messy Kathy.
That's good. Messy Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
You can stop anytime you want. I don't
oh, really?
You. Yeah, we can do this all day. I just don't want you to feel
I'll do one more.
To empty the hat.
If you were burning down, what would I retrieve first? What if I did not say my children?
We can choose one of them.
Just choose one!
We won't name names here, you know who you are. Catherine, thank you for coming into my
horrible
sauna.
Oh, it is a pleasure. It's chilly outside, so this is fantastic.
If you want to look up Catherine on the Huffington Post and see her all sweaty, just blame me. See Bad Words. It's awesome.
Yay.
See everything she's in. She's always awesome.
You're so awesome.
Good to see
thank
you.
You're the best. Thank you for having us. I'm so excited.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.